joined us from IFS today to look at how, to take that down to a regional level and have a look at how London is going to compare with the rest. This is not a picture of James.
Okay, thanks, Drew. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about how we go about modelling the impact of tax and benefit changes that are due to come in over the next few years. Then I'll present the average loss from the tax and benefit cuts that are coming in over the next few years for each region. And then for London, I'll drill down a bit further to see what the distributional impact is by income quintile, how that compares with what we have for the UK as a whole, and similarly for different types of family, how are different types of family in London being affected on average compared to the average for those types of family in the UK as a whole. So what are we trying to measure here? So what we're trying to get at is the direct impact of tax and benefit measures on household incomes. So even though there are reforms that are due to come in over a period of several years, we imagine they come in overnight and households aren't able to respond to these changes by changing their behaviour, and that pre-tax prices in the economy don't change. So obviously this is an assumption that is more plausible in some cases than others. In particular, you might worry about things like VAT, where retailers might not be able to fully pass on increases in the VAT rates to customers, and also with housing benefits, where cuts to LHA rates might be passed on to landlords rather than being directly incidenced on tenants. But I'll leave that for Alex to talk about a bit more in the next presentation. What we do is we obtain an average cash loss for households in each region and express this as a percentage of the average household income for each region. Now, of course, the tax and benefit system is pretty much a national system, and almost all the reforms affect each region of the UK in exactly the same way in terms of the way the system's changing, the only exception to that being that the localisation of council tax benefits accompanied by a reduction in expenditure won't be happening in Northern Ireland, where they still have the system of rates rebates. So any differences I find here are going to be the result of differences in the distribution of income, demographics, rent levels, things like that, rather than deliberate policy decisions by the government to affect one particular region more than others. So just a reminder of what the tax and benefits changes that are due to come in over the next few years are. So as I said, we're looking at all personal tax and benefit changes to be introduced between April 2010 and April 2014. So that's including things that have already happened, like the VAT rise in January, and along with those that are due to come in this April and each April after that, up to April 2014. So the key changes amongst those are, as well as the VAT rise that's already coming in January, is a 1 percentage point increase in all employee and employer national insurance rates, further reductions in the real value of the higher rate threshold, that's the point at which you start paying the higher 40% rate of income tax, and the restriction of tax relief on pension contributions. So that's restricts, so it means that people only pay £50,000 each year into their private pensions, as opposed to a much higher limit that exists at the moment. The key benefit changes are the use of the CPI rather than the RPI or ROSI indices to upgrade benefits. That generally means that they increase at a slower rate than they otherwise would have done.
James, what's ROSI?
So the ROSI index at the moment is the index that's used to uprate the out-of-work benefits, and it's basically the RPI minus housing costs. So the idea is that people who are on out-of-work benefits get their housing costs paid for by housing benefits. So that's a better measure of the time limiting contributory employment and support allowance for the work-related activity group, that's the less disabled of the two groups of people who are on employment and support allowance. This is a reform that affects the better off recipients of that benefit. The poorer ones will still be able to receive the income related version of that benefit. And finally, going to be a new disability test for receiving disability living allowance, and the government has said that it expects 20% of people who are getting DLA at the moment to lose their entitlement as a result of that test.
Could you say, just remind us what the more aggressive means test is?
Sure. So there's several things going on. So firstly, the rate at which tax credits are withdrawn as income rises is going up from 39% to 41% from April. And the family element of the child tax credit, so that's the bit that everyone whose family income is less than £50,000 gets at the moment, that's going down to £40,000 from April. And then from April 2012, it's going to be incorporated in with the rest of tax credits, and basically means that no one, a family with two children won't get any tax credits if their income's more than £30,000 or something from April 2012.
This isn't UC, is it?
No, sorry, actually I should have said that. So. What we're doing here is we're going up to the point where universal credit is starting to be introduced. We don't have the full details of exactly what universal credit is going to look like. There's still lots of questions the government needs to answer about how the childcare subsidy is going to work in universal credit, various other questions like that that mean we can't fully take that into account. So, and also, the transition of people from the current set of benefits onto universal credit will only start in April 2014. So really that's something that's coming in after all of the policies I'm looking at here.
And no CTBI?
So I do model the effect of the cut on council tax benefit. I'll just talk about it in a moment if you don't mind. Okay, so so the way in which, how do we go about calculating the effects of these tax and benefit changes on household incomes? So we have our tax and benefit microsimulation model, which calculates precise tax liabilities and benefit entitlements under unreformed and actual tax and benefit systems. So that works for most of the benefit changes, in particular things where it's just a means-tested benefit, and it can do things like direct taxes very precisely for each household. But what it can't do is the effect of some particular reforms where we just don't have the data to do it precisely. So I'll put a list up there: time-limiting contributory ESA, stricter disability test for DLA, changes to the way in which your tax credits award changes if your income goes up or down within a particular tax year, that's becoming less generous, and the localisation and reduction of spending on council tax benefit, because that's, as Peter was saying, that's an area where we don't have the full details of the policy, but we think we can roughly estimate the distributional impact on the council tax benefit one. What we do is increase the taper rate for council tax benefit, so that's a way of making this as progressive and cut as possible, so we're sort of giving the government the benefit of the doubt on that one, you might say. So, yeah, as I was saying, with all of these reforms, we think we can roughly identify who the likely losers are from all these benefit changes, and we try to take away approximately the right aggregate amount of income. previous government, but have been retained and will be implemented by the current government. Those were announced in the June budget, and those were announced in the spending review. This is the average percentage reduction in income for each region. So you can see that it's London that's losing the most on average as a percentage of income from these reforms, and that's basically driven by both the reforms that were announced by the Labour government and the reforms that were announced in the June budget. And there's different reasons for those in each case. So the restriction of tax relief on pension contributions, we assume, only affects the very richest households. So these are people who are currently contributing more than £50,000 each year to a private pension. Obviously, a disproportionately large number of the very richest households are in London. Also, with the reforms in the June budget, the cuts to local housing allowance particularly affect London as a high-rent area. Indeed, there's some of the changes, like the maximum cap on total housing benefit awards, that is only relevant to some specific areas of central London. So how much is this to do with differences in average income by region? So in this slide, I've changed the ordering of the regions so that you've got the richest at the top and the poorest at the bottom. So we can see that we've still got London, which is the richest region, losing the most as a percentage of its net income overall, and the North East, the poorest region, losing the least. But within the middle, there's a less clear pattern that it's the richest regions that are losing the most.
You've lost the eastern region.
Have I? No, it's here, East Anglia.
Oh, East Anglia. Sorry.
There we go. So this is just the reforms coming in between now and 2012. If we add in the reforms that are going to be implemented between 2012 and 2014, we can see that London is still the region that loses the most as a percentage of its income, but other regions are catching up slightly. In particular, Northern Ireland moves from being around average to being the second highest loser, as it were, and that's mainly because of the reforms to disability living allowance. Something that I found out during the course of doing this work is that there are a very large number of people in Northern Ireland on disability living allowance, more than twice the average for the UK as a whole. And that means that as we're assuming that disability living allowance recipients in each country are equally likely to lose their entitlements, that obviously means that Northern Ireland is going to be particularly badly affected. So again, changing this to ranking richest to poorest. Again, London's the richest region and losing the most, but a lot of the poorer regions that have high levels of disability benefit receipts are also losing quite a lot as a percentage of income. So just to sum up, households in London lose more on average than any other region as a result of reforms that were implemented between 2010-11 and 2012-13. In particular, that's because of those that were announced by the previous government and those announced in the June budget. And it's for different reasons in each case. So London has more of the UK's very richest households, which means they're particularly affected by the restriction of tax relief on pension contributions that's coming in from April 2011. This was something that was announced by Labour but has been implemented in a slightly different form by the current government. And London is a very high rent area and so is particularly affected by the particular cuts that have been announced to local housing allowance. This is still true if we look at all reforms to 2014-15, but we do also see other regions with particularly large numbers of DLA recipients catching up. fact, going back to what I was saying at the beginning, because the system is exactly the same across the whole country, what appear to be differences between regions are in fact, quite a lot of the time, differences between different income groups. So on this slide, I've lined up all the households in the UK from left to right, depending on their income, poorest on the left, richest on the right, split them into five equally sized groups, and the pink bars are the percentage reduction in income for those households in London within each quintile of the UK income distribution, and then the blue line is the equivalent for the UK as a whole. So we can see that within each quintile, London's losing very slightly losing slightly more as a percentage of income from the tax and benefit changes, and that's particularly true at the top. And that's again because London has a disproportionate number of the very richest households in the UK.
Do you have that information by decile as well, or is that the groups that you can do?
So we've only done it by income quintile so far. The trouble is you're getting into small sample sizes again, so if you're doing it by region and then income decile. I mean, London's one of the larger regions, so you might be able to get away with it for London, but for some of the other smaller regions, you might be a bit more worried.
Can I just ask, when you talk about London, presumably you mean the 32 boroughs, do you?
Yes, exactly. So it's the government office region.
Okay.
Yeah.
But presumably the effects will vary within London by borough, will they?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, as Peter was saying earlier, there's a huge amount of variation within the 32 boroughs of London and within the areas that he was highlighting. I mean, London's a very unequal region, so exactly.
What spatial scale can you take as an answer to?
I think you would struggle to get any further any lower with this level of data. I mean, you might be able to do inner and outer London, but you're getting into very small sample sizes when you try and go any lower than that.
While we're on definition questions, just to confirm, this is all by area of residence, not by where people live.
Exactly, yeah. So going on to 2014-15, we see a similar pattern again. Households in London are losing slightly more as a percentage of income from the tax and benefit changes, particularly at the very top of the distribution. Looking by household type, we can see larger differences between London and the UK as a whole, in particular for single households without children and couples with children. Again, this is because a lot of these household types in London are going to be the very rich, who are particularly badly affected by the reforms, as we were seeing earlier. And similarly, similar picture again when we go to 2014-15. Although an interesting point to note here is that both parent households are relatively less affected by reforms. Just 2012, when the government has announced some increases in child tax credit rates to try that basically allow it to stop the child poverty rate rising over that period, but after that, lone parents really start to be hit by these changes. And so just to sum up, much of the overall difference between London and the rest of the UK that we observe is caused by differences in the income distribution, in particular there's more very rich households in London than the rest of the UK. And that's also the reason why single-person households and couples with children in London lose more as a proportion of their income than their counterparts in the rest of the UK. But at the other end of the income scale, cuts to housing benefits are likely to affect London more
effect at the top. So
right.
if in some sense you give London's affecting, I don't know, some lower income, then my assumption that the blue would be much, the blue and the yellow would be much bigger than the purple would be much closer to the
So I mean, if you do one of these DSR charts or quintile charts, and split the bar up, you find that the bottom you get a very much bigger share
of the bar. That's all blue and yellow.
Yes,
and
it's basically